Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. This is Pastor Barry Fries, retired United Methodist pastor. We're on KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM, the number to call, 816-576-7710. I am still Barry Fries, retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, now assigned to Queen of the Holy Rosary in old downtown Overland Park.
Queen of the Holy Rosary.
Yeah, just started there July 1.
Okay, and everybody's still talking to you so far?
So far, they've been wonderful. Okay. They've been wonderful.
Jim, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, a couple of things. I'm thinking a lot about, not only have I changed parishes, but I've changed careers now, too. I'm now a chaplain for Catholic Community Hospice, so I minister to the dead and dying, I went away a day early on this weekend for a family funeral, and when I go, you know, three of my patients have passed, and that's just part of the job of being a chaplain.
Timing. You know? So how'd you handle that?
Well, we do have on-call chaplains.
Okay.
And other chaplains who are full-time but are covering for me while I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because, I in one case, I had three that were I was expecting, maybe. And the one who I expected to go first is still alive. the three that actually passed are the other two that I didn't think would go quite as quickly, and one that I just met and had my initial visit just a few days ago. So, you know, in that world of death and dying, it's something that I've learned to be able to predict very well.
So much for trying to figure out God's timing.
That's right. That's exactly the point, I guess, is that everything is up to God, and we do our best to get them ready.
What kind of what path did you follow to get the credential of chaplain? I know it's separate from the credential of deacon, but I'd be interested in hearing about.
Well, I'm in the process of working on my clinical pastoral education.
Okay,
I'm also going through bioethics training as well too. Mm. But shortly after I was ordained, I was already working in a parish and doing pastoral ministry.
Okay.
And the pastor I had, the Holy Spirit at the time, was a great mentor, Father Rick Story, who sent me out to the homes and the hospitals, mm-hmm, and the nursing, mm-hmm, homes to deal with our and help with our patients who are sick. So I had a lot of experience doing it,
yeah,
that way. And when Catholic Community Hospice was looking particularly for, they needed another Catholic to do it. They took me under the wing and gave me a lot of on-the-job training, and so now I'm doing my formal training.
Yeah.
And
yeah. How deep are you into the clinical pastoral education?
Just,
we also call that CPE.
CPE, and just, yeah, starting.
Just starting. Okay. Starting. And where are you taking that?
Through St. Luke's.
Oh, good.
So I mean, I'm just very, very,
yeah,
very beginning.
Yeah. No.
So I'm not fully into it yet, but this week I'm going to North Dakota to do a little study on religious and ethical directives of the Catholic Church.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, you know, we need to clarify how we're supposed to deal. I mean, some of these death and dying issues are not clear-cut. And, you know, so how would
Do you
Christ
fly to North Dakota? Or is that,
yes, I'm, yeah, going to, because...
Oh, wow. Into where?
Into Bismarck.
Okay.
Into Bismarck. It's going to be at the University of Mary. And, you know, I did drive one time a number of years ago to attend a conference in Bismarck. Beautiful area, really, it really is. It's a long drive.
Long drive, yeah.
And I'd be going by myself this time instead of sharing the duties of driving with about three other guys.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm looking forward to it and learning a lot as I go. So,
well, that's good. My best regards to the folks at St. Luke's. I also did my clinical rotation there, just one quarter as required by the,
yeah,
United Methodist Church in Missouri at the time, and it was a fabulous experience.
Well, as I said, I'm just getting the I's dotted and the T's crossed on all that process, and so I've yet to have my first class there, but
okay,
that's going to be coming along, and looking forward to it.
Well, it's a, it was excellent training at the time. I did mine in 1998, and it was just really a fabulous group of people. At the time, the St. Luke system and the Shawnee Mission system were intertwined, and
yes.
We would go back and forth.
Now, Shawnee Mission would be real convenient for me.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I've been to St. Luke's to visit patients before.
So. Well, St. Luke's probably saved my life. I had heart surgery there a while back. And
that's the place to go.
Yeah. It's really good. Well, the number to call, 576-7710. 816 is the area code. We welcome our friends, sisters, and brothers in Topeka as well. It's good to have you with us this morning. Listening to the news this week, I couldn't help but reflect on, well, for one, I had a moment where I kind of had a moment of empathy for our president, and it was the release leak, I guess is the verb, of the transcripts of his conversations with a couple other world leaders, Mexican president and the head of the government in Australia. And I found myself reflecting on what it would be like if a transcript of one of my conversations came out in this clinical pastoral education that you're doing. You'd probably, I think, be required to write down verbatim of what went on and so forth. I found myself reflecting, how many times did I accurately reflect in my own little mind, what actually happened? Did I use complete sentences, unlike our president? Did I follow a particular train of thought, unlike our president?
Well, yeah,
I felt sorry for the guy in a way, a brief, fleeting bit of empathy there.
I write my, when I'm visiting patients, I try to write my charting right afterward.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's... So I remember it. I go into a lobby or something if I'm in a nursing home and sit down and write it out. And then later in the day, I go home and put it in the computer to make it into our system.
Yeah.
Boy, I've got terrible handwriting.
Can you read your own?
You use complete sentences or not leaving out the or, just something like that. That's. But I'm hoping that I got the essential parts that that someone coming in and visiting this patient.
Did anybody give you the not quite secret handbook of all the abbreviations that you can use in charting?
I went out and bought one.
Okay.
I always cut, when I first got there, I was looking at, I was reading some of these, I'm thinking, what is an SOB? I have an idea of what an SOB is.
Yeah, it may just come to mind. Faces, perhaps.
Shortness of breath is is what I learned it was.
Well, okay, Jesus. I'd forgotten that one.
And then there's one that... BS is another one. Mm-hmm. Somebody write down BS. I thought, well, it shouldn't be BS. No, it's blood sugar. Well, I've got to deal with that myself.
I learned recently that the commonly understood meaning of LOL has a predecessor in the medical field for little old lady.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that one yet.
And I heard one, LOLFDGB, which was little old lady fall down and go boom. It doesn't sound very caring, but I've certainly cared for relatives and friends and church folks that have had that happen as a trauma, my grandfather included, which preceded his death. But
usually write PT fell, patient fell.
Yeah, for sure. Well, 816-576-7710. It is Deacon Jim and Pastor Barry on the radio this morning. We're going to take a break, and we look forward to talking to you at 816-576-7710.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Kansas City's homegrown bank, Security Bank of Kansas City. With 43 area branches, look for the leaf.
Time for another installment of Dumb Government.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
Mitch Fisher of Idaho has an ATV and a lot of elderly neighbors. With all the snow they get in winter, the city often can't get to his street for some time, and for the past 9 years, he's simply plowed the street himself, pushing the snow in front of his own house so as not to block anyone in. I know what you're thinking. This must be stopped. Doesn't he know that he's not allowed to move snow around on public property? The city of Pocatello thinks so, and they fined him $206 for the violation. Thank goodness City Hall is keeping an eye on renegades like Mitch. Well, an evil lawyer got him out of the fine, but not without $70 in court fees. And Mitch has the audacity to say he's not going to stop helping his neighbors. Can you even?
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute.
Some stuff just makes my eyes glaze over, you know? Technological stuff especially. Maybe that's why the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution sort of disappeared recently, but we kind of didn't notice.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
We're supposed to be protected from search and seizure without a warrant that a judge has a pretty good reason to issue. Now, a lot of us protect the information on our computers with software, but there's a new rule allowing one judge to issue multiple warrants on a whole bunch of devices that are protected this way, allowing the government to hack them remotely. Seriously? One judge, all the jurisdictions he wants, allowing hacking into people's information for whom no one has demonstrated any criminal activity at all. But don't worry, it's all for your own good. Well, Fourth Amendment, it was great while it lasted.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Start your day with America in the Morning, your daily radio news magazine. I'm John Trout, and weekday mornings, we bring you the top stories and the latest breaking news from our correspondents around the country. You'll get sports highlights, a business update, the nation's weather, the Hollywood Minute, and much more. So join us for America in the Morning, right here.
America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 a.m., Kansas City's KCMO. Stimulating talk.
No, it's just wrong. Don't you think it's morally wrong?
KCMO.
They are very, very upset with what their politicians have told them and what their politicians have done.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City. KCMO. KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Me too. Good morning. You've got religion on the line. KCMO Talk Radio, 3.7 FM, 710 AM. The number to call, 816-576-7710. This is Pastor Barry Fries, a retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary, Old Downtown Overland Park.
Old Downtown Overland Park.
You know, there is another Queen of the Holy Rosary on Medcalf.
I can't say that I knew that.
It's down in what we call WIA, or near Bucyrus exit there off of 69.
Why is it called WIA?
I don't know. I think there must have been an old village there called WIA. But
how's the Holy Rosary spelled?
WEA.
Okay.
And it's about, I don't know, 15, 20 miles south of Overland Park on the way to Lewisburg. And it's a cute church, but sometimes if you just say Queen on Medcalf, well, Medcalf really does go way down there.
Who decides what Roman Catholic parishes are called?
Well, that's interesting because our newest one is called St. John Paul II. And, the archbishop has the final word, but I think that the pastor at this new parish, whose father goes to Queen of the Holy Rosary.
Which Queen?
In downtown Overland Park. The pastor, I think, had got a lot of input from parishioners and made a request to the archbishop. But the archbishop has the final word. And Interestingly enough, here's the other connection, is that the school at Queen of the Holy Rosary is John Paul II. And my son goes to John Paul the Great Catholic University in Escondido, California.
So, John Paul the Great.
Yes.
Catholic University Catholic is the full name.
It's a full name. It was real close to the time that he passed, and there was a lot of push from the people to add him to the list of saints that were called the Great, just because of his influence into Catholic culture for a number of decades. You know, like St. Leo the Great, St. Gregory the Great, and there's been a few others. And so he's not been officially given that title, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, over the next couple of decades.
The Vatican hasn't interceded and said don't do that.
Not that, but they did canonize him rather quickly after his passing. Was that 2002, I believe? Or no, it was it was somewhere around there. I'm drawing a blank on the date, but it wasn't that long ago, and it didn't take very long for him to be canonized. He was canonized the same day that Pope John the 23rd, who opened the Vatican II Council in the 60s, was canonized. So, so that name is, you're going to be in a lot of church buildings, I think, in the near future in different places as they build new ones.
I'm trying to think how they name Methodist churches. Usually it's a conversation, as I understand, I've never had the privilege. Usually it's a conversation between the planting pastor and then local, the local authorities that authorize a new church plan and
sure.
support it financially. And then the regional authorities, in our case, the state of Missouri, there's a bishop over the about 800 United Methodist churches in Missouri, and mm-hmm. And that's that conversation. It changes, though, over time. Obviously, there's a lot of Wesley churches, not a very rare name sure. for a Methodist church, or Christ is popular. Grace is another popular one. There's actually four or five Broadways. Our church in Waldo at 74th and Warnell was known as Broadway for a long time.
When I was growing up in the area, I had a very good friend who went to Asbury.
Mm-hmm. That's another popular one.
I was going to say, where'd that come from?
He's what we call a circuit rider. Mm. He traveled all over the eastern seaboard praying for folks, planting, instructing. Francis is his first name.
Francis Asbury.
Yeah, so that's a part of it.
Cool.
It's not a United Methodist Seminary, but the biggest Methodist seminary, as I understand it, is named after him.
Oh, okay.
In Kentucky.
So. How many different, you said it's not United Methodist.
Yeah.
How many
yeah.
different ones are there?
Total? Or that claim Wesley or United Methodist?
Methodist.
Methodist? Any Methodist? I don't know.
Okay. What are the big ones then, I guess?
Well, United Methodist, there's 13, and they vary. They vary in size.
Pardon me.
The one here is probably under 200 students, but it's a very focused kind of situation. There's one in Denver, one in where else? Dallas.
Is there one in Emory?
Emory University? Is a Methodist institution. Yeah. The seminary itself is called Candler.
Okay.
In Evanston, Illinois, the founding institution. Garrett Evangelical Seminary then grew into Northwestern University.
Okay, yeah.
So that's all a part of that. We're happy to have folks from Topeka. Let's hear from Topeka today, 816-576-7710.
During the break, we were talking about, I was attending a funeral in Burns, Kansas, at the Burns United Methodist Church. And that there's one not too far from there that my wife's family also went to in Aldi. You hear these little tiny towns, and all they really are is a Methodist church. Sometimes it's just a Catholic church, but a lot of little towns, and a lot of them have a Methodist church and that are still serving people, the farmers in of the area. And it just shows there's a lot of staying power there.
Well, there can be. It's the culture has certainly changed. These days, someplace I heard 4 out of 5 Americans live in cities in bigger markets now. Mm-hmm. So the population headcount even and density in the rural areas has been declining for some time. But that's a challenge to the local institutions in those areas. Speaking of challenge, I was, of course, more news this week. Interested in the transition over the last week or so in the White House in terms of who's in and who's out. A lot of turmoil there. And now we've got a Marine general as the chief of staff. I'm interested. That, you know, reminded me more of the Roman Catholic Church, where people know who the Pope is, and there's one Pope and only one Pope at a time. The previous situation was kind of scrambled with a lot of people had access to the president. I'll be interested. What's your reaction to that kind of organizational change?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think it's going to take probably a whole year, the first year of this presidency, for things to settle down and get into a routine. I think it's just people hadn't had that much experience working in a political environment. And, well, they may have, but not at the presidential level. And, you know, it takes a while to find the right people. But it also takes some mistakes.
Well,
learning from that mistakes, hopefully.
You know, certainly the current Pope has made some moves that could be seen as political moves, particularly in the United States with...
You mean the president or the Pope?
No, the Pope. Removing and shifting cardinals and bishops that lean more towards the right. People generally presume the current Pope's more to the center, or perhaps even left in terms of the socialness of the gospel.
Yeah, if you like to look at labels like that, that's something I never really tried to do or not. You know, I mean... there is, you know, you could look at this. So we got a computer monitor in here and a couple of them, and you can look at it and say, this is a computer monitor. But if you look at it from another side, it looks different, but it's still a computer monitor, and it still has that same substance, but looking at things a little differently. And so, yeah, the Pope is making some changes to help align himself with those who will carry out his agenda. But it's not making any big changes in terms of what the church teaches. I mean, at the fundamental level, but certainly emphasizing new things that maybe have been neglected over the years.
The you know, the challenge to United Methodists these days is what's going to happen within the United Methodist Church. Is there a way forward? The big conversation is there's a group of very well organized, politically organized, and funded folks that believe homosexuality is a sin, and the Methodist, which is our current policy, should not ordain or marry. Our fancy phrasing for it is self-professed practicing homosexuals. The fact of the matter is, even though that's the policy, there are gay pastors had. In most states, as far as I can tell, and there have been pastors doing marriages, which is legal in the land, but not according to the United Methodist Church. So we're wrestling with that. That tends to be a position that people who emphasize taking Scripture literally, word for word in the English translation, take, and it's appears pretty clear on the surface of what they're talking about. The folks who are, you know, gay, homosexual, lesbian in my kinfolk, that does not help my relationship with them. Although they've been very loving to me, the challenge is would a God of love actually condemn somebody for one particular thing on a long list of don'ts, like in Leviticus, for example? Or is there a challenge to that? We'll talk about that soon after this break. You're listening to Religion on the Line.
Time for another installment of Dumb Government.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
Perhaps you heard about the formerly homeless man who decided to help his fellow sufferers by giving them free haircuts? Juan Carlos Montes de Oca is a cosmetology student in Tucson. He wanted to get some other students together at the library to give free haircuts to the homeless. But wait, that's illegal because they're unlicensed and not in a licensed salon. Never mind that the homeless they'd be serving hadn't had haircuts in over a year because, you guessed it, they can't afford one. If these sorts of cases go viral, maybe some lawyer will rise to the occasion and help out the good guy. But these anti-competitive, draconian licensing laws actually make wonderful, generous acts like this illegal. This stifles innovation and basic human kindness.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
CBS News Updates. $1 billion, the amount of money North Korea stands to lose through economic sanctions placed on it by the United Nations Security Council.
We have banned North Korean exports of coal, iron ore, lead, and seafood. These are the lifeline exports that sustain Kim Jong-un's deadly aspirations.
Matthew Rycroft, British ambassador to the United Nations. The vote unanimous. Even China and Russia on board the U.S.-led sanction agenda. But will those sanctions really hurt the people they are intended to? Foreign policy expert Aaron David Miller with the Wilson Center in Washington.
These are resistance economies, and it's rare that sanctions directed at the regime are going to affect the elites. More likely, they're going to cause grave dislocation, disadvantage to the North Korean people, which already suffered, but already has a tolerance for pain.
CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
A few showers possible through the morning hours, possibly into the early afternoon as well, but drying out by the evening. Highs still on the cool side, only reaching the upper 60s and low 70s with a light wind. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronald Williams.
Is right to work wrong for Missouri?
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rick Hafer.
Right-to-work laws basically allow anyone to work without having to join a union. Opponents do not want market forces to determine wages. One claim by opponents of right-to-work is that wages will fall. Adjusted for inflation, wages in right-to-work states are slightly lower than in non-right-to-work states. This shows that organized labor has successfully pushed up wages by restricting entry into many jobs. Are plumbers able to charge such high prices because they are highly skilled, which they are, or because unions restrict the number of plumbers you can call when your pipe bursts? Right-to-work laws increase competition in the labor market. This competition keeps wages in check. Right-to-work may not be good for organized labor, but increased labor market freedom is good for the economy.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Journalism is dead.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
It doesn't even matter which side you're on. Objective journalism seems to be completely dead. We could blame consumers. If it's not sensational, nobody wants to read it. But despite the Kardashian effect, some people really do want accurate information so they can make up their minds for themselves. But it's also the case that journalists used to learn their trade through apprenticeship. They tailed an experienced news person and learned from them. Now, most of the major outlets employ people with journalism degrees, but not a journalistic mindset. The problem? Universities have become deeply ideological. They've raised up a generation of journalists who consider themselves to be activists. The victim? Truth.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Hi, I'm Evan Hanning, host of First Light. We start every day with a close-up look at the morning's top stories. Meteorologist Dean DeVore has the nation's weather. It's Robert Workman for sports. Chuck Rich recommends TV and movies and watches some so you don't have to. Then we take your calls on the issues that push your hot button or make you happy. Because First Light always likes to hear from you and that you listen to First Light.
First Light, weekday mornings at 4 a.m. Kansas City's KCMO. KCMO. FM 1037 and AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is art. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you.
It'd be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line on KCMO Talk Radio in the Kansas City market on the Big Talker, KMAJ in the Topeka market. We look forward to talking with you. The number to call, 816-576-7710. This is Pastor Barry Freese, a retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in old downtown Overland Park. I think it's called Space Age Music.
Space Age Music? I like it.
Space Age Music.
I like it.
Yeah. Where the music is shaken, not stirred, to borrow a phrase from a radio show that I've heard on another station.
Where'd you hear that?
That was on another station I used to work at, Kansas Public Radio.
And they did or did not cite the James Bond film.
That's kind of their little tongue-in-cheek tagline.
Okay.
But speaking of taglines, we have our folks in Topeka listening on The Big Talker.
Yes.
1440 AM KMAJ.
We're happy to have them.
If you're listening there, give us a call. 816-576-7710 is the number to call.
I'm interested in your reaction. The whole issue where I was mentioning gay marriage and those relationships, which is entirely legal in the United States now, had been various levels of crimes. Most folks in the United States think that's just fine. There are religious groups, increasingly fewer in number, but over time, no telling how that's going to finally end. The Roman Church does not.
Yeah, and that's a particularly big one there, too, that believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it is not a condemnation on anybody who believes different or practices differently. But that institution of marriage doesn't change just because certain cultural changes happen. So, we love and respect everyone, so it doesn't mean that necessarily that we're going to start allowing marriages that are not really marriages in the way that that it's always been in society and been with the church.
The challenge is that the trend is going the other way in this particular culture. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges United Methodists have is that there was some suggestions that our annual, well, not annual, it's quadrennial is the word we use every 4 years, meeting be held in Africa, except that there's still some countries in Africa that would have been eligible to host that meeting where homosexuality is a capital crime. In other words, somebody who was out could go there, but they'd be subject to the possible death penalty.
Wow.
That's extreme.
Yeah.
The politics on it in the United Methodist Church, typically the non-United States or the worldwide representatives are more likely to vote for the current status, which is officially we're not supposed to ordain self-avowed practicing homosexuals. I think that's largely due to the missionaries that we sent out to plant those churches over the years when that was appeared to be a little clearer in society. Let's put it that way. In the United States, if the United States was the only voting body for the Methodists, then I think the whole in church law having those marriages be performed in our churches and stuff would pass quickly. The voting block of what many people call evangelical Methodists, or there's a group called the Good News Movement that's considered conservative, combined with the international delegates, particularly the Africans, that is a voting block that's been successful in keeping the current language.
I think the whole continent of Africa has is discovering the faith at a fast rate. Catholics, evangelicals, Methodists, others, I think, are seeing growing numbers just in general in that continent. And
what's the official answer to the question, is the Catholic Church growing?
It is. It is. some places more than others. Like I said, Africa is a big growing place. Now, is everybody who claims to be a Catholic actually practicing the faith? That I'm a little unsure.
Probably not.
No, I know that not everybody who does, but what percentage it is, I hear different things. So, but we have more people coming into the church as adults every year, and that's what I know. At least on that part.
So. On that part, yeah. I saw an article where the waste from marijuana farms is highly toxic pollution. There's a lot of pesticides used, apparently, according to that article.
Wow.
U.S. News World Report.
There's no organic marijuana?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting. I had no awareness of this. I do know in Missouri, hemp was a big product for many years and very helpful, both to the farmers and to the quality of the work that went into it and the product. Of course, that all went by the wayside when marijuana was changed in terms of its legal status. When we deal with truth, okay, and I'm going to put a capital T, but also air quotes on that. Truth appears to change, you know, in the legal status of marijuana and the legal status of marriages, for example, in the United States. Truth has been a big topic in this current United States administration. The image that comes to my mind is the president and the first lady walking past empty bleachers and then having him say it was the biggest crowd ever in the inaugural, for example. I think the smallest one was probably Calvin Coolidge, who was took the oath of office from his father, who was a notary public in his dad's house in New York. But the question of truth comes up a lot, and it's a topic that tends to go back and forth, which sounds crazy for capital T truth. We do have Madeline who wants to weigh in on this. Good morning, Madeline. How you doing?
Good morning. It's so good to hear both of you. I consider when the two of you, this hasn't happened before, this is a special God squad.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
But congratulations, Deacon. I kept waiting to hear a date, and I didn't. And I know that I kept waiting, and I have a card that has been ready to go, so I'm going to send it to Catholic Charities in Overland Park because I do have that address. That's who came. That's the hospice program we had for Ed, and I'm telling you, there was a happy day every time, every day that we were involved with it. It was.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was wonderful from the standpoint that they were just here, and they made it. We had choices at North Kansas City Hospital, and I noticed the third one on the list was Catholic Charities, and I thought, Overland Park, would they get here in time? Well, how dumb was that? They had nurses and people north of the river. And but it was a blessing for all of us, my family, for Ed and I. And I'm very happy for you, Deacon. I think you're going to get much, much from it. I know it helped me. And that's what I wanted to say today. And Reverend, I'm still hoping one of these days to hear one of your homilies.
Oh, Madeline, you know, that's going to be a little tougher, but the challenge is that now that I'm retired, I tend to move around, so you're not going to be able to go to
one. Well, I happen to have
place.
A part of my family go to the North Cross Methodist Church.
Okay, good for
you. And you know Kyle, or at least he knows you.
Yes, yes.
And
I'll admit to that as well, if he's going to admit to knowing me.
Oh, he does. He does. And your subject today, it's very close to home, and I'm anxious to hear what you feel. My thought is God created all of us, and it's not my judgment to make, but it's different when it hits home.
And which subject is that?
The homosexual part.
Yeah, okay.
But I just believe in the power of prayer.
Yes.
And somebody said to me, well, what can you do besides that? To me, I think that's everything. So
certainly a good place to start.
we are dealing with it as a family,
mm-hmm.
and this store will never close on anybody.
Good.
It never, never, and I have been told by my spiritual advisor, mm-hmm. that would not be the thing to do. Not that I even considered it. So my good. Door is open, and I love this young man very much,
good.
And nothing's going to change that.
Well, keep telling him.
Oh, I do. I do. And when he says, I want what you and Grandpa have, my answer to him was very definite. But I still get hugs, and we still... he's a God, a creation of God, and that's what we have to think about. But congratulations, Deacon. That was my main thing today.
Well, thank you.
God loves you, and I pray for you, and you'll get this card. It'll come by way of something or other.
Well, God bless you, Madeline, just for doing the card, for setting it up, getting ready, and planning to show appreciation. That's a wonderful thing.
Well, and also... once you know that God loves your family member too. I mean, we're not some church in Topeka that says otherwise. God loves everyone, and we have to show that love to them. We have to be a representative to them, and
that's right. And I believe that with all my heart. I told that deacon I know. I said, you know what? The last thing I try to say at night, if I don't fall asleep, and the Royals haven't kept me up too late. Is Jesus, I trust in you, but, and he said, no, Mom, don't you leave out the but.
Okay. Well, that's good
that
you got that relationship.
But at 88, it's okay.
88, good job.
Take care, and God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. You're on KCMO Talk Radio, Religion on the Line. You're also on Topeka's The Big Talker, KMAJ. We'll be back after these words.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former BMW, Mazda, Subaru, and Toyota owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
Are people basically good or basically bad or what?
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
I'm a person of faith, and I believe that the Creator made a beautiful, good world full of good things, including people. But the fact of the matter is that we have free will, and the choices we've made have turned us into people who can be pretty selfish a lot of the time. How does that translate into politics? It means that we should never shoot for perfection. Frankly, we're lucky to get peace and productivity. It means we should jealously guard the rule of law that makes a prosperous civilization possible. The minute we hand over power to an arbitrary ruler, we're in trouble. This might sound like a downer, but imperfect people under a limited government end up being pretty creative, serving one another through the market and enforcing moral codes within their local communities. Given human nature, that's not too shabby.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Time for another installment of Dumb Government.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
Perhaps you heard about the formerly homeless man who decided to help his fellow sufferers by giving them free haircuts? Juan Carlos Montes de Oca is a cosmetology student in Tucson. He wanted to get some other students together at the library to give free haircuts to the homeless. But wait, that's illegal because they're unlicensed and not in a licensed salon. Never mind that the homeless they'd be serving hadn't had haircuts in over a year because, you guessed it, they can't afford one. If these sorts of cases go viral, maybe some lawyer will rise to the occasion and help out the good guy. But these anti-competitive, draconian licensing laws actually make wonderful, generous acts like this illegal. This stifles innovation and basic human kindness.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
I'm John Trout, inviting you to join me on America in the Morning, your daily radio news magazine. Each morning, we bring you the top stories and latest breaking news headlines from our team of correspondents across the country. Catch sports highlights, your daily business update, the nation's weather, the Hollywood Minute, and Jim Bohannon's Offbeat and Jim's interview with top newsmakers. Start your day with America in the Morning.
Weekday mornings at 5 a.m. Kansas City's KCMO.
KCMO.
Stimulating talk on your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app. A free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM, 710 AM. In Kansas City, in Topeka, we're on the Big Talker, KMAJ, and that's a joy for us as well. This is Pastor Barry Fries, retired United Methodist minister, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in downtown Overland Park.
The news includes a story about Palestinians returning to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Following a two-week boycott because of increased security at the Noble Sanctuary's entrances. This, of course, is the Holy Mount near the prayer wall or wailing wall. And having had a one-time and wonderful opportunity to go visit the Holy Land, Palestine, and Israel, it's been something where I can visualize what the situation is. We were very fortunate. It was kind of a gray day, a little drizzly when we went, and although we did go through security checks, we walked right in and were allowed into the area. Some of the folks got in a little bit of trouble. One of the religious, I guess you'd say, not a guard, but a monitor, let's call it, didn't approve of the dress of one of our female participants and gave her a scarf and so forth. So, but I have I have visuals on this. It's an ache to see the ongoing trouble over the millennia, really, and this is just one of many. We are here today because we're sitting in for the great Bob Hill, the great rabbi, and also your colleague.
Bill Scholl.
Yeah,
sure. He's on retreat this weekend.
Sure. Okay, the great Bill Scholl, too.
Well, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
The challenge we have in this era is a shifting of what the definition of truth is. We're challenged into how there is a gap, increasing gap, really, about the understanding of the relationships between same-gender folks legally and in terms of marriage, which of course is legal in the United States and punishable by death in other parts of the country, world, particularly Africa. And yet our caller this morning, the last one, Madeline, was very gracious to talk about kindness and love that's been provided by chaplains. And imagine this, Jim. She's got a very high opinion of the chaplains.
That's, well, you know, we try. But that's I think, a fundamental, a true part of a person's life is their spiritual life, whatever particular religion or even no religion. that they have, and it certainly comes to mind when it, when one nears the end of their life here on Earth. I don't care if you're the most avowed atheist. People like to talk about those things when they are facing the end, whether what they believe and what they trust in, and how do they feel that their life is going to be changed at death. You know, since we can't put down physical proof of what happens.
We live in hope, though, don't we?
Absolutely. That's the essential aspect of our faith.
You've got Religion on the Line, 816-576-7710. In Topeka, we're on the Big Talker here, KCMO Talk Radio. It's amazing to me. I stand in awe in general of the idea of what folks will do for their faith. As it happens, just last month, Palestinian worshipers were killed in fighting near the Haram al-Sharif Mosque. And clashes with police in that situation, certainly the brief time I spent in the Holy Land made me well aware of the a well-armed police presence, and I had some fear about going there. Then I did just a little bit of research, and I found out I was 10 times more likely to die by a weapon in the next place I was going, the United States, than I was in Israel and occupied Palestine.
Well, a mosque just recently has been attacked in Minnesota, you know,
and it just
burns me to no end to think that someone can justify attacking a house of worship, regardless of what they believe, or attacking anybody. I mean, it's just so foreign to things that I've grown up with and learned. But you know, we do live in a violent society. It's especially in this country, and it's been. I don't think it's anything that in general that people like, but it is certainly there and doesn't seem to be changing a whole lot. It is a broken world, and we just got to be messengers of love, messengers of hope. So that's glad to be in a place where I can do that.
Well, that's great. And I appreciate that. I know the patients that you're working with do as well. It is a wonder, though, to me. I may have made a mistake in driving the other day and was subject to some road rage. And just that little experience of someone else's anger really gave me pause to consider. You know, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you I'm a good driver, but most people will, so... So what prompts all the anger? What righteous anger, even if you will? All things we're going to talk about at 816-576-7710, KCMO Talk Radio, and the Big Talker in Topeka.
Is the gay wedding cake controversy the new civil rights movement? Not even close.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
I can understand why some would initially draw parallels between the two. A business owner refusing to serve certain customers. But the parallel doesn't hold. Jim Crow laws were imposed by government. Businesses weren't allowed.